On today's episode of Wake Up With Hope, we're celebrating National Fast and Prayer Day. We're also traveling to the Taj Mahal for some spiritual insights.
And Pastor Mark Finley will join us to share a devotional thought for the weekend. Come along with us. Good morning and welcome to another brand new hope-filled episode of Wake Up With Hope.
Today is National Fast and Prayer Day. In the Bible, we read of people fasting and praying, and Jesus himself mentioned the importance of this practice in Matthew 17:21. Fasting and praying are still important and powerful today. Fasting and praying means to yield your mind, your heart, and your will to God as you abstain from something.
And so today, we encourage you to set aside this day or even another day if you weren't ready to do so today and fast. Give up rich foods and eat only simple foods. But it's not just about food. Mm-hmm. You might also choose to put away your phone or social media for the day. Those are types of fasting. And whatever it may be, put it away for one day and spend an extra time in prayer throughout that day and seek a deeper connection with God.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, we have another wonderful program lined up for you.
We do. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1981, the Space Shuttle Columbia launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, becoming the first reusable manned spacecraft to travel into space. Piloted by astronauts Robert L. Crippen and John W. Young, the Columbia undertook a 54-hour space flight of 36 orbits before successfully touching down at California's Edwards Air Force Base on April 14. Though this was quite the accomplishment, the spacecraft went on to have issues multiple times and even had a couple of accidents where lives on board were lost.
You know, friend, have you ever felt like you reach your peak, you're on the top of your game, and suddenly something happens that just completely knocks you off your success streak? Well, unfortunately, it happens to the best of us. The good news is that when we fall, God promises to catch us. He promises to be a sure shoulder to lean on, even when the world seems to come crashing down around us. Even deeper than this, Jesus died so that you and I can have victory over sin. But the ugly truth is that sometimes we lose sight of Him and we fall into temptation. And during these discouraging times, Jesus calls out to us. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So when you find yourself seemingly going down a deep hole, friends, look up. Don't stay down, friends. Reach out your hand and reach out your heart to Jesus. And He is the one who promises to lift you up out of the mire. He will rescue you and set you back on an upward path.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God for that. And one of the struggles of living in a social media world where everyone has a platform and an audience is that it tempts us to spend too much time in building up and beautifying the outward appearance. Why does this matter and what does it have to do with our spiritual journey? Well, let's explore as Taj Pakhlab takes us on the Taj Mahal on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
Growing up in Hawaii, people would always have to ask my name twice. Either they couldn't pronounce it, or they couldn't believe that such a name existed. They just never heard it before. I'd always have to tell them my name is Taj, like the Taj Mahal, and then they would get it. Because it was so unusual, I was always self-conscious about my name. It wasn't until I got older, and much more secure in who I was and whose I was, that I began to appreciate my short, simple, three-letter, one-syllable name. The name Taj is Arabic in origin, though I'm not Arabic by blood. I'm Filipino, Mexican, and German, born and raised in Hawaii, but with an Indian name. So how did I get such an unusual name? Well, when I was in my mother's womb, my parents saw a poster of the Taj Mahal. And they said, wow, that's a nice building. That's a nice name. And so here I am today. Because of my name, I've always felt a special connection with India. And so you can imagine how excited I was when I was invited to come to India to preach the gospel. And since we're here, I'm so excited to go visit my Indian palace, the Taj Mahal. The name Taj means crown. The word Mahal means palace. So the Taj is the crown palace. It is the great symbol of love here in India. It was in the early 1600s that the Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan built the Taj as a monument of love for his fourth wife. The emperor's fourth wife was called Mumtaz Mahal, which means beloved ornament of the palace. The Taj was the king's crown, and she was the ornament in his crown. Tragically, she passed away after giving birth to their 14th child. But because of his great love for her, the king built the Taj to be the final resting place for the wife that he loved so much. And even though it's called the Crown Palace, it is actually a mausoleum, a glorified tomb that contains the memory and the remains of the empress, as well as the emperor that loved her so much. So with this romantic love story, forever linked with my name, I'm super excited to visit the Crown Palace today. After passing through the outer court, we entered through the northern gate. And when my eyes hit the Taj for the first time, I was taken back by its beauty. All was magnificent and glorious. Everything was easy on the eyes. Because of the translucent nature of the white marble, the color tone changes with the transitioning light of the sun, moon, and stars. In the morning sunrise, it has a pinkish hue, yellowish at noon and milky white in the evening, and goldenish when standing in the light of the full moon. It is enhanced by the marble lotus pond with 24 fountains of water. There are intricate designs of orchids, roses, and lilies made of jasper, jade, crystal, sapphire, and over 28 kinds of precious and semi-precious stones that are inlaid in the marble walls. Everything is perfectly symmetrical, even down to the designs on the walls. The history books tell us that it took over 1,000 transporting elephants to carry all the building materials. And it took over 20,000 laborers, sculptors, calligraphers, inlayers, and stone cutters over 20 years to complete. No wonder why they call it the Crown Palace, one of the seven wonders of the world. The closer we got, the more beautiful it became, and the more excited I grew. I thought to myself, man, if this is what the outside looks like, then the inside must be absolutely spectacular. But upon entering into the threshold of the door, it wasn't what I expected. Instead of being grand, glamorous, and glorious, it was cold, dark, and empty. There are no benches or chairs for people to sit, rest, and relax. There are no rooms for rent for couples to spend the night in the Palace of Love. There are no signs to read or places to explore. In fact, there is no practical purpose for the empty space within, except to house the remains of the king and his wife. The interior of the Taj is a place of darkness and death. It is filled with profound emptiness. You see, my friends, human nature is kind of like the Taj Mahal. It's so easy for us to spend so much time and invest so much energy in building up and beautifying the outward appearance. Our pride yearns for the recognition and validation of others. We live for the Instagram likes and the Facebook followers. Unfortunately, the world has placed the most value on that which is outward, a pretty face or a hard body, a winsome smile or a charming personality, a fast car or a comfortable home. Aesthetics and athletics are the things that are most valued and most celebrated in our world of vanity. But these things don't last forever. Time and gravity changes it all. In fact, the Bible says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Our temporal lives are like a drop in the bucket and a vapor in the wind. Make no mistake about it, friends. Our health is better than our wealth, and the person more important than the package. For the Bible says that the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. You see, the call of our Creator is to allow Him to beautify the interiors of our lives. Why? Because the content of your character is far more important and far more lasting than the cosmetics of the container. Now don't misunderstand, both are important. For we represent who we serve on the inside as well as on the outside. But one is far more important than the other. Because even though we may get the outside looking just right, perfectly symmetrical and stunning, sometimes we still feel empty, dark, and cold on the inside. And in light of this reality, I appeal to you today. Don't focus your time and energy in trying to hide the insecurities within, behind a fading facade. Instead, open your heart up to God. He is the divine interior designer and the beautifier of character. And today He desires to transform you from an empty mausoleum for the dead into a living palace where the King of Kings shall reside. And if you will, He will make you a real crown palace, a spiritual Taj Mahal, crowned with the glory and the honor of a Christ-like character. His love will make you alive again, no longer empty, but filled with the blessed hope, the sublime peace, and the holy joy of seeing the crowned King at His return. And when He comes, that same King will place the golden Taj upon your brow as you enter into the palace of life. And there you will receive the white stone of pardon and a new name of a better identity, saturated with the Spirit, satisfied with salvation, and filled to overflowing. And by God's grace, I'll meet you in that crown palace above.
We're headed into the kitchen now as we learn to cook spinach ricotta manicotti. Yummy.
Today I've got a delicious vegan Italian dish. We're gonna make spinach ricotta manicotti. So to start this one, we're gonna use firm tofu. Take it out of the box. We drained it already. You don't need to press it or anything. And we're just gonna crumble it up in there, kind of mimicking ricotta cheese. So it's gonna be nice and crumbly like that. There we go. And then some vegan mayonnaise that kind of sort of acts like a binder, adds some extra flavor, and it is the only fat in the recipe. We're also gonna need fresh basil. Dry basil just won't quite do it on this trick, on this recipe. Nothing is better than fresh basil for this. So fresh basil, and then some yeast flakes. I'm just gonna kind of coat the top of it just a little bit, not too heavy on it. And then salt. Again, just kind of a sprinkling over the top. This is one you can mix it up after you've salted it and check and see if the salt's where you like it. That feels about right there. And then for extra greens for this one, we're gonna put some spinach in it. And of course, fresh spinach. And we'll chop it up. This is, like I said, this is a nice one that you can easily make large batches of to take to a family function or anything like that. There we go. Yeah, that looks about right. All right. We'll mix that all up. So this vegan ricotta manicotti, we can use it in a bunch of different Italian dishes. I like this one in as like the ricotta cheese layer in a lasagna. Yeah, that looks just about right. Perfect. Okay, I need some tomato sauce. Put that down in our pan. There you go. To make it quicker, we're using a tomato sauce that's out of a jar. You can always use your own favorite tomato sauce recipe. And the quick tip today, to fill the manicotti shells, you don't want to take the time to just stuff them manually. So we're using a piping bag. Makes it even easier to make those large batches. There we go. And you don't always have to have like a nice reusable one like this. You can even use the big Ziploc bag and snip the tip of it off. All right. That should be enough. All right. And we've already cooked our manicotti shells. And so, like I said, it makes it super easy. You just fill it in, and that manicotti shell is filled and ready to go. We'll do just a few more. the last one. Okay. All right, so we got tomato sauce in the bottom so it doesn't stick. Then we also need a nice coat on top. I don't like them to be completely submerged in it, but I like to coat each one with just a little, even if it's just a little thin layer. And I'll show you when it's all baked, when it's got this thin layer on it in the oven, it will bake and actually like bake into the pasta and add some extra flavor to that. And so now we're gonna bake it in the oven at 350 for probably like 20 minutes or so. And we'll show you that when it's ready. Okay, our manicotti is ready. We just got out of the oven. We baked it for about 20 minutes and we got exactly what I wanted. The tomato sauce is baked onto the pasta and then even the edges are just a little bit crispy. I like it that way too. It has a little extra crunch or chew to the pasta as opposed to just a soft noodle. So these are ready to serve and I hope you enjoy.
We hope you're enjoying our program this morning. Visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to look back at recent episodes and see what else we have going on at Hope Channel.
And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley and today's devotional thought. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us this Friday morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought with Pastor Mark Finley. You know, we always enjoy these power-packed devotions that fill our hearts with courage as we walk with Jesus.
The book of Proverbs is not some theoretical book to place on our shelf and pull off occasionally to debate about. The book of Proverbs presents practical principles for living. Our proverb for today is in Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand." In other words, often we have plans and make plans for ourselves. But if we'd spend a moment trusting God, He will give us guidance and direction. In verse 27, it says, "Cease listening to instruction." That's the instruction of God's Word, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the wise counsel of others. "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you'll stray from the words of knowledge." In other words, God longs to give us guidance. Now, there are four essential principles of guidance in Scripture. Now, have you ever wondered, with the bewildering array of voices in our world, how you can ever receive guidance from God? There are four principles of guidance. First, God guides us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. There are times that we will pray, and God impresses us through His Spirit what we ought to do. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally." So God impresses our hearts. Now, what's the difference between a divine impression and a fleeting emotion? A fleeting emotion often comes very quickly and it's gone. A divine impression is a growing, constant awareness that God wants us to do something. So impressions can be very definite. They're very certain and they last. Emotions are fleeting. Now, the more important the decision you have to make, the more it's important to take time to make that decision. I don't have to take much time to decide what kind of tie I'm going to wear today or what kind of shirt I'm going to wear. But if my decision is on marriage, if my decision is on a life vocation, if my decision is on moving my home and my whole family from one part of the country to the other, that decision is made over time as we seek God in prayer and listen for the impressions of His Spirit upon our heart, the deep convictions. But that's not sufficient enough because at times we may confuse our human ideas for God's plan. Isn't that what Proverbs is saying here in Proverbs chapter 19? verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. In other words, I might have an impression to do something. It may be my own plan. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. So how does God guide us? He does guide us through the impressions of His Holy Spirit. But God also guides us through the instruction of His Word. So I want to be sensitive to the Word of God. I want to ask God, is there anything in Your Word that will give me guidance here? John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So is there something in the truth of God's Word that will guide me in this decision that I'm going to make? Two young people come to me and they want to be married. One of the young persons is, the young man is a committed Christian. Maybe the young woman is not. What counsel do I give them? Well, certainly I give them the counsel to wait. I offer them the opportunity to study the Word of God with them. But I remind them as well that, as the book of Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so I help them to understand the wisdom that comes from God, that He wants to guide them, but He wants them in His Word to be agreed, because if they're not agreed spiritually or religiously, they will have constant conflict. Thirdly, God guides us through the providences or circumstances of life. There's a lot of time that God opens a door, and we know this is the time to move through it. Other times He shuts the door. So how does God guide us? Through prayer, the impressions of His Spirit. How does God guide us? He guides us through His Word. He guides us, thirdly, through providences of life. And lastly, God guides us through the counsel or instruction of others. I have seen this in my own life. Specifically, I was not brought up in a Seventh-day Adventist home. But as I grew older, I was 17 years old. My father was a Protestant. My mother was a Catholic growing up. And when I was 17 years old, Dad had become a Seventh-day Adventist about 4 years before. And I was struggling with a lot of decisions. I loved sports. Played basketball on the City League teams, both for the YMCA and our City Leagues. And there was one occasion where we formed a team from the city that was to play in the regional championships. Now, to play in those regional championships was what was called an elimination tournament. It meant that you went to the tournament on a Wednesday, practiced on Thursday morning, you played your first game Thursday night. Then you played another game on Friday or Friday night, then semifinals on Sabbath and Saturday, and finals on a Saturday night. I couldn't wait to go. I was so excited about going to that tournament. And, you know, I had never traveled much before. We didn't come from a family that had a lot, so I didn't travel. And I thought staying in a hotel, you know, I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school. And I said, my, and to eat in restaurants and to travel, to stay in hotel, I'll probably never travel any place in my life if I turn this down. And I was just excited about going. I had just begun studying the Bible with my father and with other Seventh-day Adventists, had been to some evangelistic meetings, and I had accepted the Sabbath. But I rationalized in my mind. I said, you know, well, I will go, but if we don't win on Thursday, I'm going to come home anyway. And if we don't win on Friday, I'll come home. But all of a sudden, it was nagging at me, you know, nagging at me that I was compromising in some way, because I knew that if we won those earlier games, that the pressure would be on and I have to stay. I will never forget that day. You know, there are some things that are just indelibly impressed upon your mind. I went to the Norwich Free Academy, which was one of the larger high schools. We had 3,200 students in our high school. There were 500 in my class, 500 kids in my class. And I was coming down the hallway, and we had payphones in the hallway, and I thought I was troubled about this. Should I go? Should I not go? I was looking for the guidance of God. And I remembered an old lady in our church, very godly, Frances Parisi. And I went and I called Frances. I said, Frances, I'm really struggling with this decision. Can you help me? I'm supposed to go and play basketball with my team. And we go on a Thursday, but I don't play on Sabbath. And we go on Friday. But then if we win those two games, we'll be playing on Sabbath. And I'll never forget Frances' words. She simply said to me, Mark, what would Jesus do? Who do you really want to please in your life? Your team or Jesus? Thank you, Francis. I knew what my decision was going to be. I knew that I had to please Jesus. And I told my team that I was not going to go. And you know, I've sensed that God leads you to the right people to get instruction from. Find some wise, godly counselors in your life. Not people that'll tell you what you want to hear, but people that'll share with you the truth of God, and you will be a blessed man, a blessed woman.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. What a reviving message.
That sure was. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the new week together. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning, and our friends from Voice of Prophecy will be sharing a devotional thought. We will be back in the kitchen with Gia and her team and so much more. You don't want to miss it. And don't forget, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
And of course, we can't leave without sharing a Bible promise with you. And today's promise says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" That's found in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27.
That's beautiful. And friend, the answer to that question is no.
That's
right. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. So whatever your circumstances, whatever miracle or intervention you are so desperately needing, place it in God's hands. There is nothing too hard for Him.
Amen. Friends, we truly hope you have a great weekend, and we can't wait to see you on Monday. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord. This promise gives us not just spiritual strength, but it gives us emotional strength. It gives us even physical strength, because we sense your presence with us, and we can face today with that assurance. We pray, Lord, that all this content that we receive today would remain in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for giving us so much hope. In Jesus' name, amen.